Let's keep learning, okay? So we are going. Let's go forward. We are in Mishnah Yud Gimel of Perek Revi'i, okay? So we're in Perek Revi'i, Mishnah Yud Gimel. And ready to go, everybody? Yes? Good? Let's go. Han, I'm sorry you turned your video off. You're welcome to keep it on or off as you want, with or without Hadassah, okay? Let's go. Rabbi Nohorai Omer. Rabbi Nohorai says, Heve gole lemakom Torah. You should be exiled to a place of Torah. / you should exile yourself, it seems to be, right? To a place of Torah, but fine. Be exiled to a place of Torah. Va'al tomar shehi tavo acharecha. And don't say that that place of Torah will follow you. Shechaveirecha yekaimuha biyadecha. That your friends will sustain it in your hands. Ve'el binascha al tisha'in. That's the most famous piece of this. I have an allergic reaction to this, unfortunately, as I do to some things. This is one of the things that I was told in high school when teachers wanted to tell me to stop talking. Again, the theme of my life was like basically shut up and sit down. So this is one of the things that people said to me when they were telling me that. The other one they quoted to me was, lo mitzasi davar tov laguf mishtika. And I was like, that's ambiguous. You could read it the other way too. But fine, okay? So this is al binascha al tishain. Don't be so overconfident in your own understanding, basically, right? El binascha al tishain. Do not rely on your understanding. Let's read that translation with a perush. Okay, this is like my spotty translation. So one more time, let's go through it. Rabbi Nohorai Omer, Rabbi Nohorai says, Heve gula lemakom Torah. You should emigrate, okay, really means exile yourself, to a place of where there is Torah, va'al tomar shehi tavo acharecha. And don't say that it will follow you. Shechaveirecha yekaimuha beyadecha. That your friends will keep it in your hands. Ve'el binascha al tishan. And do not rely upon your own understanding. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Now, what, hi Carrie, thanks for turning on your video. Hi Rachel, what's the major point of this Mishnah? I mean, if you had to sum it up in like one sentence, if we're going to talk about the point that this Mishnah is trying to make, what is it? Let's talk about it this way. The Mishnah is telling you to do something, right? This is actually one of the very, very practical Mishnayos. We haven't encountered one of these in a while, right? The previous one was like, there are three crowns. What are they, right? The other one is, Heve Zahir B'Talmud, Shishigas Talmud, Ola Zadon, Osa Mitzvah Achas, Kona Lo Partegar Achas, right? We have not had an actual, like, very practical mitzvah that's telling you to do something in a while in Perek Daled. But here's one, okay? What is it telling you to do? It's literally telling you to do something. No one, like, this isn't a metaphor. It's telling you to do something. What is it telling you to do? Shira.
I don't know if this is what you're going for, but maybe something about acquiring, like, dad and stuff like that. Like it's, I know that we were talking about how Torah is really a continuous theme and, like, stressing the importance of not only learning it, but also having the attitude of, like, carrying it through everything. So I feel like it's speaking about also getting the knowledge from it, not just like, this is so not like the way to say it, but the vibe from it. So like getting more than just the vibe, getting like really what it's talking about.
Okay, good. So Shira, you're like, you're picking up that there's something here that's going to be also talking about Torah, which is the theme of this parak, right? It seems every single one of these is about it. I think it's a little bit of a different dimension than what you're saying, right? What you're saying really works very well with the theme generally of this parak. Let me read it to you again. It's telling you to do something. And again, something like it's a little bit more like simple, you know, Shira, you're already like, you know, in the depth of the Torah and the attitude. It's like a little bit more pshat, like pshat, not pshat, pshat, okay? Heve gula lemakom Torah. Exile yourself to a place of Torah. Va'al tomar shehi tavo acharecha. And don't say that the Torah will come after you. Shechaveirecha yekaimuha biyadecha. That your friends will make it Mekayim through you. Ve'el binascha al tishan. Don't depend on your own understanding. Okay, this is good. This is good because it shows that, again, you know, sometimes I'm a little bit biased because I've read it like a bajillion times by the time I'm on this class and we're talking about it together. This is telling you to move to a place of Torah, right? That's the point of this Mishnah, is that literally it is telling you pick a place to live based on whether or not there is Torah there, period. Because don't think that the Torah will come after you. Don't say, I want to live in Uzbekistan because Uzbekistan is just the coolest place in the world. And of course, there's no Torah Jews within 500 million miles. But you know what? It doesn't really matter because that's where I want to live and the Torah eventually will come after me. Or maybe I'll take it with me. I'll take all my svarim. I'll take my bookcases. I'll come. The Torah will come with me. Shkayach. Right? It's saying, no. Have a gola lemakom Torah. Again, even if you have to be gola, even if you have to go into exile, right? Go into some random place, but that Uzbekistan is the only place with Torah, go to Uzbekistan. Don't stay in the Queens. Okay, so again, this is what, that's what this mission is saying. Now, there's one piece of this mission that is extremely confused. There are a bunch of pieces of this mission that are confusing, and we have to deal with them, and that's why maybe we're, like, a little confused, okay? There's one free, let's talk about the easier question. The easier question is, which, let me just ask this, which phrase in this mission is hard to understand? Okay, there's two answers to this. Carrie. You looked like you were going to say something.
I don't know, maybe I'm just not understanding it, but exiling yourself, like that, I don't get it.
Good, okay, I like that phrase. Rehearsh is going to come back to that and talk about, like, why the word exile, right? Interestingly, nobody but Rehearsh talks about that word. I don't know if there's another place that it says, have a gola. You should exile yourself. You should go into exile, right? Like, it's a very
also, intense phrase. We talk about that as opposite of being in, like, a Torah environment, like, so.
Right, it's weird, right? Again, it's like it's a little bit of like a weird phrase to say you should exile yourself to a place of Torah. Usually it's like you're in a place of Torah and then you get exiled or excommunicated or something like that from that. Right. So it's a little weird, right? Okay, good. I think Rehearsh is gonna talk about some of that. You'll tell me what you think at the end. Okay, Havigula Mokam Torah, the Al Tomar Shahitabo Acharecha, Shechave Recha Yekaimuha Biyadecha, the Albinascha Alti Shain. What else here is a little difficult? The answer is everything else. I was setting you up, right? Everything else. The phrase, let's go to the last phrase, Ve'el binascha al tishain, what does it have to do with the rest of it? Right? Again, we kind of quote it at each other, as I gave you a happy example in the beginning, right? Sometimes it is quoted at us out of context, right? El binascha al tishain, don't depend on your own intelligence. So what is that? How is that related? Is that directly related? Like, what does that phrase have to do with anything? Okay, and the second thing that's difficult is the middle phrase, Shechave Recha Yekaimuha Biyadecha. I've been translating it weirdly in a way that doesn't make any sense, which is probably why we didn't get like the gist of this Mishnah, okay? There's a massive problem with this phrase, which is that it could be read one of two ways. Okay, let me tell you the grammatically, absolutely accurately, you could read this phrase in this Mishnah one of two ways. You tell me if it makes a difference. Does it make a difference? Is there a practical difference between reading it first way or the second way? Ready? Here's one way to read it. Hevegula makum Torah. You should exile yourself to a place of Torah. V'al tomar shahita v'acharecha. And again, don't say that the Torah is going to follow you. You basically have to follow the Torah. Go to a place in which you are following the Torah. Shechaverecha yikaimuha biyadecha. That your friends will help you keep the Torah in that place. Okay, so exile yourself to a place of Torah. Don't say the Torah is going to come after you. And in that place, your friends will be there and they will help you keep the Torah. V'el binascha al tishain. And don't depend that only you yourself are going to let yourself keep the Torah. Make sure to go to a makom Torah in which your friends will help you keep Torah. And don't depend on yourself alone. Okay, that's one way to read it. Here's another way to read it. Hevegul makom Torah. You should exile yourself to a place of Torah. V'al tomar, and don't say, don't say, the Torah is going to come after me because my friends, they'll go to the Rav Shir, let's say, right? They'll go and learn Torah wherever they're going to come, and then they'll come and teach it to me. So I don't need to be in the place where the Torah actually is. If the Beis Medrash is in Lud, and I live in Bnei Brak, I don't have to live in Lud. My friends will go to Lud, they'll learn Torah, on the weekends they'll come back, they'll teach me in Bnei Brak, I don't have to go to Lud. V'el binascha al tishain, and don't depend on your own intelligence, on your own understanding. Okay, so both of those are completely legitimate ways to learn the Mishnah. The difference between them is critical. Because why? What's the difference between those two? Let's backpack. Yeah, Shira.
I feel like it's the person with the power. Like, are they going to the Torah, with their friend? Or are they having their friend come back and tell it to them? Like, is the person themselves interested in seeking it out, like, themselves versus, like, someone coming to them?
Good, Sarah, good. Okay, good. You're on the right path. I want you to phrase it a little bit differently, so let me give you a prompt, okay? Usually, in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, again, being responsible for your social surroundings is one of the themes that we encounter all over the place in Pirkei Avos, right? We probably have not gotten something as explicit as this since Aseh Lecha Rav Uknei Lecha Chaver, right? But we've gotten smatterings of this all throughout Pirkei Avos. Here's the question. When we talk about setting up your social environment so that it's successful in terms of your spiritual growth and development, who is part of that picture? Who do we expect to see in a Mishnah that talks about set up your social environment in a way that keeps you from, basically. Who do you expect to see? There's three. Three different kinds of people you would expect to see in that kind of Mishnah. And that we do see all over the place in this kind of Mishnahs. Who are they?
Friends.
A rug.
And neighbors.
And sometimes neighbors. Good. Interesting. Good. Sometimes neighbors. Good. Let's put that up there. And who else? Who else is sometimes there? Let me jog your memory. Ready? Rabbi Elazar ben Shammu Omer, Yehi chavod talmidcha chaviv alecha kishalach, ukavod chavercha kamor rabcha, umor rabcha kamor shamayim. Right? There you have the whole social environment in which we expect to find people. They have a rav for sure. They have chaverim for sure. Carrie's right. Sometimes they have neighbors thrown in there, good neighbors. And sometimes they also have talmidim. Right? Those are the kind of characters that you would expect to see in a Mishnah that talks about social environment. How many of them show up in this Mishnah? One. Which is who?
Friends.
Chavercha. Okay? And the fact that this phrase is ambiguous means that in one way of reading the phrase, chaverim play a very good facilitatory role in my Torah, emotional, you know, there's like, you know, it's like there's social development, psychosocial development, like what is this, like Torah development, like spiritual development, right? But it's like spiritual sounds like a little fluffy, right? So in one way of reading that phrase, friends play a critical role in my environment, right? They're basically the only ingredient that this mission is giving us to go to a place of Torah. The only thing that I need in that place of Torah is friends, apparently, according to one way of reading this Mishnah. The second way of reading this Mishnah, that one ambiguous phrase about friends, the second way to read it is that friends are just like not even good enough. It's like, don't trust them. Stam, like they're the thing that you shouldn't say. Don't say, don't say that the Torah is going to follow me and my friends will teach me Torah. So it doesn't tell us whether or not friends have to be there or not have to be there, but we know that it's not good enough to rely on friends. Right? So this is kind of weird. Like, what is this mission telling us to do? Right? It tells us, go to a place of Torah because, again, it's like a social, it's one of the social, set up your social environment. Don't rely on yourself to bring Torah there. You need to have an environment that will bring your, again, spiritual development to fruition. But then there's no people here. Like, who is it telling us to go with? What does it mean, Makom Torah? And what's the goal of this, okay? So those are going to be the starting questions that we have to deal with everywhere, okay? So let's go to Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm going to read you the first line of Rabbeinu Yonah, and you're going to predict what he's going to say about that phrase about Shechaverecha, right? This is probably one of those Mishnahs that's a little hard to learn outside, because a lot of it is like about the phraseology, but we'll do the best we can. Or you'll do the best you can, or otherwise you'll clap Alchi, and you'll go by Rabbeinu Yonah, and then we'll all live happily ever after, okay? Rabbeinu Horai Omer, Heve Gola L'makom Torah, you should exile yourself to a place of Torah. Shetadur b'makom, he's about to define it. What does it mean, a makom Torah? Shetadur b'makom sheyisham Torah harbe, okay, there's a lot of Torah, v'chachamim merubim, and many wise people. So which of those social people did Rabbeinu Yonah just add into the equation? Rav, right? Rabbein, people who you could look up to, authority figures in Torah. Not chaveiracha, not talmidacha, not shcheinacha, rabim, right? Chachamim, people who you could look up to. So he just added that in. I mean, he didn't just add that in, right? He has a reason for doing it, but the Mishnah doesn't say it. So what do you think he's going to say about that phrase about friends? Predict. Is he going to say that it's that, you know, you should not see the Torah is going to come after you, but instead you and your friends learning together, that's going to bolster your social environment? Or is he going to say, don't say the Torah is going to come after you, that your friends will learn the Torah, and then they'll come and teach you. You have to learn it yourself. Former or latter? One or two?
Second.
Two, exactly, right? So again, he's just added in the Rav, so we could predict that what he's going to do is say, you know, don't think that your friends are going to learn from that Rav, and then you're going to learn from your friends. That's not how it works. You have to find that Rav. You have to find those chachamim in that makom of Torah, and then you have to move there and live there yourself. Because learning it secondhand from your friends is not good enough. Okay, and that's exactly what he says. Klomar, lo tishayin al chaveiracha shehalchu lilamod. Don't depend on your friends that they're going to go learn. Sheyavou v'yelamducha v'kaimu ha-Torah b'yadecha. And they'll come and teach you, and that's how you'll learn Torah. That's how you'll keep the Torah. Ki ata ba'atzmecha tzarech liglus imahem. You have to go into gullus with them, right? You have to find those people and follow them wherever they go. And in that way you have to chase after the Torah. Im tirta ladas, so if you want to know it at all. Okay? Valbinas Khatishan, we're gonna leave Rabbeinu Yonah's on that for a little bit later. Okay? Let's see Rashi. I'm gonna read you Rashi. You tell me if Rashi agrees or disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay? How does he read that phrase? Rabbi Nahu, right? Interestingly, listen who Rabbeinu Yonah says this is. Zeh Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Remember we talked about Rabbi Elazar ben Arach? We just talked about him, some of you who were on the Chabur when we did that. The Chabur of Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who unilaterally gets Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's praise more than anybody else, right? He's the one who, if all Klal Yisrael were on one side and he was on the other side, he would outweigh them all. And he's the one who said, Lev Tov, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says he has the best answer, right? Again and again, he's the top guy. And according to Rabbi Yonah, he's the one who says this. He says, Rabbi Yehorai Zal Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Val Shem Shahaya Manhir es Pnei Chachamim, since he, you know, brightened the faces of Chachamim, Kalacha Nikrakach. That he was called that as it mentions in this Gemara. Okay, so he says, which is interesting, right? Because Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was head and shoulders above everybody else. And if he's the one who this Mishnah is attributed to, who's saying, don't rely on yourself, don't rely on your own genius, don't rely on your own, you know, credibility in Torah learning, you have to go to a place where you surround yourself with other people, and that's critical for your spiritual growth. Interestingly, in parentheses, what we also know from Avos Rabbi Nasa, and I don't know how that works with this, is that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach did not follow this advice himself. So I don't know if he became Rabbi Nahorai because maybe he went back on the Derech. I don't know, but he left to what's called a resort town. Again, I have to look up like the exact phrase. I remember like the English translation of it. He left to a place that was not like this, and he lost his Torah. So I don't know if it's credible because he's a Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, or it's credible because he did the opposite and it didn't work out for him, or it's credible because of both reasons, right? But it's fascinating that Rabbi Nahorai, according to Chazal, is Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, okay? So, Havi golo mokom Torah, lim kom sheha rav sham. So again, he throws in the rav again there. Va'al tomar shi tevo acharecha, shechabei recha yikamu biyadecha. She'im tolich l'sham, talmidim, if you and other students go there, again, to this mokom Torah, b'nei Torah, talmidim b'nei Torah, hamischa brim imcha, There are a lot of people there who are all learning Torah, right? There's a bunch of people there who all want to learn together, and you're friends with them. Yisu v'yitnu imcha, sham ka'alacha utvina. Then you'll have a good conversation with them about halacha and understanding it, and you'll be firm. Okay, so again, Rashi we see reads it the other way, right? Shechavei recha yikaimuha biyadecha. Don't say, I'm going to go to this, don't say that the Torah will come after me. You go after the Torah, and your friends will help you keep the Torah. And again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, your friends will help you keep halacha and tevuna, right? They'll help you understand the halacha and make sure that you're doing what's right. But he also adds in the piece about the Rav, Ve'al binascha al tishayin, and don't depend on your own understanding. Al tomar, do not say, Eini tzarech l'leches l'rav. I don't need to go to that Rav, right? I don't need to go to those rabbis. Ela me'atzmi yochol ani l'reid l'amka. But me on my own self, I could go down to its depth. So again, you see what Rashi is adding in there, right? That for your friends, they will help you keep halacha. But if you want to have a relationship in which you're leirid la'amka, in which you're going into the depth of Torah, Rashi also feels like this Mishnah must mean that you also have a Rav, that you're following a rabbi to a place. And if that is, if you're going to have the access the depth of Torah, there's no way you could do that by yourself. You need a Rav. And not only the friends. The friends will help you keep halacha. The Rav will help you get deep. Okay, I'm going to read you Rambam. You tell me if he agrees or disagrees, okay? Here we go again. Rambam. Amar, bakesh mikom kriya, hakriya v'halimud. Go to a place, again, what's a makom Torah? Go to a place that has, again, learning Torah. Ki im zulascha yitachein lach hakriya v'tizkayim. Because without other people, it will be impossible for you to keep the Torah. That's what Rambam says the moral of this Mishnah is. Without other people, it's impossible for you to have real spiritual growth. Veloti shine al tivu nascha, don't depend on your own understanding. Vitomar, she'ein chatzarech lechaveim or letalmidim she'yorucha. That you don't need friends or students to inspire you, right? To help you be alive. What did Rambam just do that's different than everybody else? You catch it? Who did he not add?
Students.
Sorry, he added students. Good. And who did he not add?
Rabbis.
Okay. Okay, so again, it's really fascinating, right? The only one who's really mentioned here is Chavirim in an ambiguous way. Rashi or Ben Yonah add Ravcha, right? Rabbis, assuming it. And Rambam adds in, he does not add in rabbis, but he adds in students, right? But everybody seems to agree on the moral of the story, even if we're not picking out that phrase, right? They all agree on the moral of the story, which is that your again, spiritual development, we have to come up with like a better word, like psychosocial, right? Like it's a good word. It like encapsulates the experience. If you're going to have like a Torah social development, whatever, it's not good. If you're going to have a Torah development, you have to be, you cannot do that on your own. You cannot. Al binas chalti shine. You alone cannot be, again, according to Rashi, leirid la'amka. You're not going to get the depths of Torah. According to Rambam, yorucha. You're not going to be inspired is like a dumb, fluffy word that I don't like because it doesn't mean anything. Right? Yorucha. You're not going to be, your soul will not be alive. Right? You will not have an awakened soul if it's just you. No matter who you are. Right? Interestingly, again, this Mishnah coming right after the previous Mishnah is talking about Keter Malchus, Keter Shem Tov, Keter, right? There's all these Keters, and even that, right afterwards, it's like, by the way, no matter how great you are, you cannot just be this yourself. Okay? Rav Arjuna Bar Chanura, I'm gonna skip. Okay, but Rav Arjuna Bar Chanura does vote. I'm going to read it fast. Okay? Shechavei recha yikamu biyadecha. Al tismoch shechavei recha sheyevu mibeit harav yikamu ator biyadecha. Shatil man mehem ma shalamdu mehem min harav. Right? Again, that's one way of reading it. You know, don't say that your friends are going to go to learn from the Rav and they'll teach you and you don't need the Rav yourself. Okay? Ela hevi gola ata, sorry. Kimipnei ma ani omer lecha gadadah. Shechavei recha yikamu biyadecha. Sheafilu ata chariv umapupal biyoter. Even if you're like a really sharp dude, right? Or gal. Even if you're really good at learning Torah, lo tizkayim a Torah becha. Ela al yidei chavei recha. The only way that you could really keep the Torah is through having friends. Through having friends who are also in this boat of keeping Torah with you. Shatisa v'titein imahem. That you could haggle with them over Torah. Good. So now let's go to the last phrase. And again, how is that related? We're going back to Rabbeinu Yonah, as we always do, and then we'll go to Rav Hirsch, as we always do also. Okay? Here's Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay? What does that last phrase mean? So again, no one's really debating the moral. The moral being, again, I think Rambam says it most simply, Im zulascha, zulascha yitachin lacha kriya v'tiskayim, right? You cannot achieve Yorucha, right? You cannot achieve inspiration or depth without a social surrounding with you, by yourself, without a Rav and or Talmud, for sure Chaveirim, or you cannot do that. Okay, here's Rabbeinu Yonah. You tell me what he changed, what this piece of the Mishnah adds to the Mishnah and how it changes the moral of the Mishnah. Okay, here we go. El binas chal tishayin. Gam ki tihi agula limkom Torah, v'tilmad v'techkam. Meaning, even if you do everything the previous part of the Mishnah told you to do, okay? Even if you're, you know, Keter Shem Tov or whoever you are, you're Avlazar Ben Arach, right? Whoever you are, if you go and follow after the Rav, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, right? Or your friends, or you go to a Makom Torah and you're doing everything the previous part of the Mishnah says, you don't say it's going to come after you, you use your friends, or you don't rely on your friends overly much, right? Even if you do all that, Gam kiti yagula l'makom v'torah v'tilmat v'techkam el binascha al tishayin. Still do not depend on your own self. Shalo tishayin al sivarascha. Do not rely on your own understanding, your own logic, right? Your own genius, basically. Ach ba'atas ha'chachamim ta'asa es ha'kol. But you should always rely on chachamim. Always rely on, you know, the people who are above you. So what did Rabbeinu Yonah, like, according to that, again, it's not a chiddush necessarily, but he just kind of hounds it home. And he puts the al binas chal tishayin not as saying like that's a reasoning for the first part, right? Heve golim makom Torah because you shouldn't rely on yourself, but it's heve golim makom Torah, and even if you're doing that, still don't rely on yourself. What's the mida in that last piece?
It's constantly reminding me of al tamin ba'atzlacha ad yom ha'tzlacha. Basically, like, there's no guarantee. Like, you can never have enough safeguards for you to be on the right path. And, like, the perfect example is the Rav that we saw that, like, had all of these milos, but yet still didn't kind of, you know, didn't make the end.
Good, Han. Okay, good. Exactly. What, again, if you had to put a midah to that, what midah term would it be? What midah is that?
I feel like it's Anava, but it's like beyond just Anava. It's like you can be really wise and have so much and everything and like Dastra and everything, but it's still knowing that you're limited.
Exactly. Good. It's a massive amount of Anava, right? And exactly what Chana said, right? It changes this. It says that even if you do all this, there never comes a point at which you don't have to do it anymore. Right? It's not that you then accomplish your own Torah. If you are Golel Mokom Torah, and if you don't think that the Torah is going to come after you, and you use your friends, and you haggle Torah, and you have a Rav, and you get to the depth of Torah, and you have Talmidim, right? Let's take everybody's opinion, and Rashi, and Rabbi Yonah, and Rambam, and Rav Elazar, and Rav Ovadia Bar Tanura, right? We have everybody, all of that, you still never achieve it. You still never reach a point at which you don't still have to do this. You never reach a point at which you could say, okay, that's it. Now I've been Kona Torah. Now I have my own sense of Torah. I did what the Mishnah told me to do. I went to this Mokum Torah. I had a Rav. I had a Chavirim. I had Talmidim. And now I have my own Torah. No. This is not something that ever ends. This is something you constantly have to do. You are constantly in charge and responsible for your own environment of setting it up that you are chasing after the Torah. And you are assuming that without that Rav, without that Chaver, without that Talmud, you cannot achieve Torah on your own. You never reach a point at which you can achieve Torah on your own. You are always in this transient state of needing to be responsible for your social environment so that your social environment grows you in Torah. Right? It's a mass amount of humility. And it puts this Mishnah in a frame of, instead of something that you do and accomplish, this Mishnah is a lifelong work. This Mishnah is an avoda that does not end. You are always setting up your social environment within these bounds, and you never achieve success. You are always on the journey. I don't like that mushal. I don't like that metaphor at all, the journey metaphor. Probably it's like my personality, but right? Like, you never achieve it. You are always working towards it. I could do military analogies, okay? You never achieve it. You're always working towards it. Let's read Rav Hirsch, okay? Rav Hirsch is very short, but again, very, very important, as always. Okay? Rabbi Novar, I have a goal of Makom Torah. Val Tomar Shem Kita Bolacharecha Shachaverecha Yekaimu Abiyadecha Val Binas Chalati Shine. You tell me how he reads that middle ambiguous phrase. And again, Kerry, he's the only one who actually uses the word like exile, so to speak. Seek out a place where the Torah is diligently studied. Okay, so Makom Torah, a place where the Torah is diligently studied, even if it means leaving your home that you love. Right, that's the exile. Right, I was just thinking about this earlier this week. I'm not sure why. Right, that phrase exile. Gola is a really like emotion-laden phrase, right? Golus means that there's always a different place that you feel more comfortable than the place that you're in. That's what golus means. It means that you feel like you're not in your home, right? That's a massive sacrifice that this Mishnah is setting up. Have a gola l'makom Torah. Leave what feels comfortable for you sometimes. Leave, again, your home that you love and sacrifice that feeling for a place that sets you up spiritually to cover your bounds. Because the Torah is not just, again, you know, the Torah is not just yours that it will follow you wherever you decide to live l'chachila. You need to follow it. Do not say that the wisdom of the Torah will be at your beck and call wherever you may be. All right, don't think that Torah is yours. You have all these bookcases. You have this great understanding. You have maybe this great past and history of 25 years of learning Torah from, you know, your Rebbe Mavuk. And therefore, wherever you go, you'll have your Torah. That's not how Torah works. It's not how it works. Right? Do not say that the wisdom of the Torah will be at your beck and call wherever you may be. That's not how Torah works. It doesn't just come to you wherever you decide to be. 4, whatever skill you have will grow and survive only if you associate with people of similar interests. Okay, that's a general statement. If you lack such companionship, your talent, in this instant, the knowledge of the Torah, will eventually atrophy. So again, Rav Hirsch, as usual, sees this as a very natural process, right? He often, you know, doesn't do like metaphysical processes. He does a natural process, right? The natural way that it works is that if you were like a guitarist and you're a really talented guitarist and you don't affiliate with other people who are natural guitarists, you will not see your guitar skills improve. So you can't say, I'm going to go live in like, you know, the middle of Uzbekistan and I will be a great guitarist. No, you won't. If you go to, this is a bad example, I don't know, if you go to whatever the guitar capital of the United States is, Woodstock, and you practice their guitar, then you'll get really good at guitar. Okay. So whatever skill you have will grow and survive only if you associate with people of similar interests. If you lack such companionship, your talent, in this instance, the knowledge of the Torah, will eventually atrophy. Now, what's your problem with this phrase of Rav Hirsch? Like, what are you really thinking that you're not letting yourself think as you read this? Anybody?
Like, in relation to the Mishnah, you mean?
Yeah, or just generally. I mean, when I read this, I was like, why is Rav Hirsch calling Torah a talent? Right? It's like your talent. Your talent is Torah. If you don't associate with other people who have the same talent, then it's going to atrophy. In this case, it's the Torah. And I was like, what? So let's backpedal for a second. Rav Hirsch is the only one who also does what? Let's go back to that. Sheikh Averecha Yekaimuha Biyadecha. Rav Hirsch is the only one of all the Mefarshim that we read that does not add anyone else into this Mishnah. He sticks exactly with what this Mishnah says. He doesn't add Rav, he does not add Talmidim, he does not add neighbors, he adds nobody. Right? He says, Have a goal of Mokom Torah, you should go to a place where Torah is studied, and you need friends. Again, that's where he's going, right? You need friends, so that phrase is positive. Chavarecha yikaimuha biyadecha. Your friends will be necessary for you keeping Torah. In the same way, he says, that friends are necessary for you being good at anything. So if you're good at Torah, that's good. But you still need friends to be good at it, just like if you have any natural talent, you're going to need friends to be good at that too. That's his parish. So I was like, okay, I sort of get it, but like, why you, like, I've never heard, I don't know, Rav Hirsch has done that before, calling like people's study of Torah a natural talent? Whatever skill you have, again, this is a general statement, will grow and survive only if you associate with people of similar interests. If you lack such companionship, your talent, in this instant, the knowledge of the Torah, will eventually atrophy. Your talent? Like, why is he calling knowledge of Torah your talent? You guys also think that's weird? Does that, like, was there a piece of you that was like, what?
I think it furthers what the other Purushim are saying, that, like, if somebody's not good at something, then they'll go and they'll surround themselves in it. But then there's that person that, like, naturally, you know, they're good at it, or whatever, and then there's more of, like, that chance of them being like, okay, I can survive. And so, no, like, even if naturally you're good at it, it comes easy to you, you know, everything, it just, you still can't. It's still,
good.
Yeah, you can't.
Good. Trust so me. Which part, very good, Hannah, which part of this Mishnah, there's two supports, I think, to what Rav Hirsch is saying in this Mishnah, of why he's calling it a talent. And it shows us the psychology that we're trying to get out of, right? It's actually very important to understand why Rav Hirsch is doing this, of course. Or when I see, like, why does Rav Hirsch do that? That's weird. Goodbye. Right? Like, why is he doing that? Where does he get that from the Mishnah? There's two places in the Mishnah that I think he gets it from, right? And Chana kind of hinted at both of them. Anyone have a guess? Here's the lashon of the Mishnah again. Have a gula l'makom Torah, v'al tomar shehi tavo acharecha, shechaveirecha yekaimu abiyadecha, v'al binascha al tishayin.
I think it's al binascha al tishayin, and shit, I forgot the beginning, but like, it'll come to you or something.
Good. Okay, good. Why v'al binascha al tishayin?
Again, because like it's a talent of yours, like you excel in it. But like you can't even rely on that.
Good. So that's what I think. I think part of it, and again, I'm guessing, I'm not 100% sure. We'll ask Rav Hirsch when we meet him, right? But part of it is the word bina, I think, right? El binasa, it doesn't say el da'atcha, right? Or alimu torascha, or mashu kazeh, right? It says el binascha. Bina is like a word for intuitive understanding of something, right? Even if you feel like you have a lot of bina when it comes to Torah, you just get it. Like, even if you feel like Torah is your talent, right? It's not just like stam, it's not just like the violin, it's the guitar, right? Like, this is your thing, this is your talent. Even if you feel like that, you still need to rely on other friends, right? You still need to rely on other friends. And I think the friends piece is also it. I think that in this thing, right, your havamina, if the Mishnah tells you, you need to rely on your friends, what's the havamina? That maybe you would think that you wouldn't need to rely on your friends. Right? Maybe your talent in Torah, or your experience of Torah, is one of the things that you actually feel different than other people. Right? You feel like, you know, like in geometry, right? Let's say like there's geometry and there's trigonometry. So I love geometry and I felt like I don't need to study with my friends for geometry, please. Right? Geometry is my thing. I don't need my friends for geometry. I got it. I'm the geometry whiz. Please. Right? Trig, I was like, I don't understand what anything is talking about. Can you guys please study with me? Right? So my relationship with the subject is going to determine how much I think I need my friends or not. So he's saying, even if Torah is your bina, even if you just get it, even if it feels like your talent, you still need your friends. And by the way, that's a natural process. Naturally, if you don't affiliate with people who are also good at something, you're not going to be the geometry whiz. If you don't go to grad school at MIT with a bunch of other geometry whizzes, then you'll get really good at geometry. If you go to, like, you know, a liberal arts, like, you know, I don't know, University of Urbana-Champaign, you're not going to be the geometry whiz. I'm sorry. Because you're not affiliating with people who are also doing that. Okay, so again, so, and then what Rav Hirsch, therefore, again, is saying to us is that really, really, again, honing in that thing, in that moral, no matter who you are, right, even if you're naturally talented, even if you have everything that the previous Mishnayot said and you have a Keser Shem Tov and everything like that, right, no matter who you are, you cannot depend on your own self for Torah. That's not, it doesn't matter how intuitive it is, doesn't matter how much you like it, doesn't matter how much sperm you have and what history you have, right, you are always responsible to set up your social environment that you are following after Torah. And that means a Rav, for sure Chavirim, and Talmidim, right? Yes, Talmidim, yes, Chavirim, no, no, you know, yes, yesh v'yesh, right? But you're setting up your social environment that keeps you honest, and that's how you access depth, and that's how you access inspiration. And you cannot find that in yourself. And that is one of your responsibilities when we're talking about Torah in this parak. One of your responsibilities vis-a-vis Torah is that you set up your environment to make sure that it keeps you responsible to your Torah.